I'd like to ask you tonight to turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. This past week I had the opportunity to be a part of some of the worship services at the Statesboro Church during their meeting. And on one of those particular services, the brother preaching brought his message from a wide scope of scriptures in this chapter 17 and chapter 18. And as I sat there, there were a number of particularly smaller things that leapt off the page at me as I tried to follow and listen with him. And I chuckled and told Sister Julie that she might get to hear some of them again. She happened to be there that day. And I'm going to begin tonight with one of those. Don't know when we might hear the others, but there are several things in this passage of Scripture that just hold our attention. The record that's given in chapter 17 and chapter 18 speak of two of the more dramatic and two of the better known events in the prophetic ministry of the man named Elijah, and in the experience of one of the kings of the nation of Israel, a man named Ahab. I want to ask you to notice with me a portion of this first set of information. It has to do, ultimately, in chapter 18, when Elijah met the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. But I want to begin looking tonight at some things that led up to that particular confrontation in chapter 18. And I want you to look with me at chapter 17, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 16 to get the scope of the context for this. But then I want you to notice two sets of verses and a phrase that's common in both of those verses for our text tonight. 1 Kings chapter 17, beginning at verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, that is unto Elijah, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Kirith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelled by the brook Kirith, that is before Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks, and he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. She said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering 2 sticks that I may go in and dress it, that is the meal and the oil, that I may dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after that make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Father, help us as we read your word tonight. Pray, Father, that this word that is inspired by your breath, that is true and right altogether, that you would impress it upon our minds for what you know that we need today. Sometimes we find ourselves to feel like Elijah in the midst of a troubled world. Help us, Father, to find our encouragement for our day of living in what is said in this passage. In Jesus' name I pray, and amen. Elijah is the first primary personality revealed in this passage. We're introduced to Elijah in this passage. We're not given a great deal of description of him. We're not given a great deal of history of him. We're simply told that he was a Tishbite. That's his family heritage. He was of the city of Gilead, which was his family location. And he stood before the Lord. Those are 3 things that we're told about him. His antagonist in the account that we're given, the man before whom he came and confronted, was a king named Ahab. Ahab was one of the kings of the northern kingdom of the kingdom of Israel. Now, perhaps you will remember some of the things that are told about those kings. One of the things that I remember from a study that I was part of in the past about the difference between the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom of Judah, there were 22 kings in the history of the northern kingdom. But of those 22 kings, the very convicting statement is that there were no good kings in the history of that kingdom. There were no kings in all of that 470-something years of history that sought the Lord. Now, in the southern tribe, they had their share of bad kings as well, but there were 8 kings spread through their history, of which it said they did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. But in the northern kingdom, there were none of those of which it said that they did what was right in the sight of the Lord. And of this particular man that Elijah came before on that day, Well, let's just say he was one of the worst of a sorry lot. His name was Ahab. He was married to a woman named Jezebel. Now, look with me, if you would, in the 16th chapter of 1 Kings. And notice with me from verses 30 to 33, a little bit of a description about Ahab. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians. Now, notice that name there and mark it. It will come into play again in a few moments. And he went and served Baal. She was a queen that came from an idolatrous nation, and he followed her actions of serving Baal. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more. Now look at this verse. Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. Now that's a rather strong statement. Now I read those verses for you to understand the connection of Ahab and Jezebel and the era of time in which Elijah is introduced to us in the first of this 17th chapter. Ahab was a king that did more to anger God by his idolatrous rebellion than all the other kings that had been before him. You'll notice that he walked in the sins of Jeroboam of Nebat. He followed the practices of the northern tribes. He followed the idolatry of serving idols that Jeroboam had made and set up that led the northern tribes away from God to begin with. Then, if that wasn't enough, he went and married this idolatrous queen who served Baal. And under that connection, he built a house of worship in Samaria for the worship of the god Baal. When Elijah, the prophet of God, came face to face with this man Ahab, he came as a representative of the righteous God of heaven, and he stood before one of the most wicked men in the land. Now, when he makes the statement that he does, it's God's judgment upon the wickedness of this rule. Elijah came and stood before Ahab, and he said to him, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand." Now that statement that says, "before whom I stand," is an emphatic way of him telling Ahab, "I'm here because the Lord God of Israel sent me to you. I didn't come on my own. God sent this message. The Lord God before whom I stand, there shall not be dew or rain these years, but according to my word. Until I tell you different, there'll be no moisture laid upon this land." A rather stark statement. And it proved to be a very accurate statement, because there was a period of more than 3 years. It's said to be about 3.5 years. in which there was absolutely no moisture upon the kingdom of Israel. It became a rather drastic circumstance. And we'll get to some of that drastic circumstance later. But I want you to notice today that when Elijah walked up in front of the king of Israel, walked in front of the king Ahab, and told him this piece of news, God spake to Elijah in the next verse and said, "Get thee hence, turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Kirith, that is before Jordan." God said to Elijah as he went before Ahab, he said, "You carry the message." But then he said, "Now go hide." But he didn't tell him to run, find his own hiding place. He said, "You turn eastward and you go to this brook and you hide there." Now notice what he says in verse 4. Because this leads into the primary thought of my text. I want you to compare and connect verses 3 and 4 and then verses 8 and 9. There's a connecting statement that's in these two verses that to me is critically important for our own understanding of our life in the days in which we live. We've often talked about how rebellious it seems that our society is, about how idolatrous people are and being ready to raise up other things, other people, other ideas onto an equal footing with the Word of God. We live in a cultural era of time in which our behavior is in many ways similar to that was going on in the reign of Ahab. Now, when he said, "You go to the brook, you hide by the brook Cherith," look at what he said. "Get me hence and turn me eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook." And look at this phrase. "And I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." Okay? Now, move over just a little bit into verse 8. 3 years of no rain, after a while the brook dried up. "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon." You remember where Jezebel was from? She was of the Zidonians. God sent him to another place and sent him right into the homeland of the wicked queen. "Behold, I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee." And brothers and sisters, I want you to notice something tonight. As Elijah sought to walk in obedience to the Lord, his path was filled with some dangers. First of all, he had to go talk to the king. King at that time was a sovereign. He was all powerful. His word was law. Elijah walked up and, as it were, verbally pointed his finger at him and said, "God said for me to tell you it wasn't going to rain." And then God said, "You go and you hide over here. You hide by the brook." Then later on he said, "You go down to Zidon and you hide there, because one place I have commanded the ravens. One place I have commanded a widow." Beloved, I want you to notice something today. In our lives, as well as in the life of Elijah the prophet, the hope that Elijah had was not in the brook, was not in the birds, was not in the widow, but in the sovereign God of heaven, whose command covered His creation in all places. When God said, Elijah, you go tell Ahab, there's not going to be any dew in the morning, and there ain't going to be no afternoon thunder showers. It ain't going to rain until I send you back to him. When God told him that, he knew exactly how long he had it planned for that to occur. He knew exactly what was going to happen. He knew that the brook was going to dry up. When the whole thing started, he sent Elijah to a place that God knew was eventually going to dry up. He wasn't immune from the fact that there was no other source of water being given. And God knew that when the brook dried up, Elijah, in order to go back to Ahab later on, Elijah was going to have to be sustained. And God said, I've commanded a widow. Folks, what I want you to see tonight is that God knew all along in the life of Elijah what he was going to be facing. There was no surprise that came to God. There was no sudden development, newsflash, where God says, uh-oh, the brook dried up. Now what am I going to do? God, the sovereign of heaven, was in command. Not just of Elijah, who followed his instruction, but of all of his creation to preserve and to maintain Elijah. If you'll turn with me to the writing of the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29. Look with me in verse 11. I want to read the verse and then I'm going to go back and talk about the background of the verse just a moment. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. God says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Okay? You see, when that verse is pulled out of context where it comes from, it's put out there, well, like God's always thinking toward me, but they miss the context of the verse. The verse is given at a time in the ministry of Jeremiah where Jeremiah had just told them that the Babylonians was going to destroy the city of Jerusalem. It was spoken at a time when judgment had been promised. It was spoken at a time when Jeremiah was even eventually arrested. But God said, even with the promise that what was coming, God said, I know the thoughts that I think toward you. The thoughts. What did those thoughts come out of? Where do your thoughts come out of? Simple enough just to say it comes out of, they come out of your mind. They come out of the thinking that you do. What is it about the mind of God? You ever thought about that? I know the thoughts that I think toward you. First of all, the mind of God is perfect. The mind of God is eternal. The mind of God knows all things. Scriptures tell us of the mind of God, known unto him are all his works from the beginning. His mind is not one that slips. His mind is not one that gets that suddenly has to stop and say, oh, wait a minute, this ain't working. I need to back up and try something else. His mind was one who knew going in for both Jeremiah, for Elijah, and for the whole of his elect people. I know the thoughts that I think toward you. They were to be thoughts of peace. They were to be thoughts of good. And they were to be thoughts to an expected end. God knew what he expected to have happen. Jeremiah didn't know. He didn't know how long it was going to be. He didn't know how it was going to unfold. Elijah didn't know. He didn't know how long it was going to be. He didn't know what was going to happen. You see, brothers and sisters, in our lives today, God knows. I think I have words, a piece of words of Him that run through my mind. Jesus knows all the way my feet must try. He said, okay, Elijah, it's going to be dry. Ahab's going to get mad. And if you follow on in the story, you'll know that Ahab basically put out a bounty on Elijah's head. He had people looking all over everywhere for him. The horses were dying. The fields were barren. Elijah had said, it won't be till my word. Ahab was trying to find Elijah so he could make Elijah turn the thing around. God said, you go hide. Well, when I hide out there in the woods, how's that going to help me? I have commanded the ravens. Later on, when the brook dried up, God said, I have commanded a widow. Brothers and sisters, that word command, that's commanded, that's there, is a word which carries with it the idea of enjoining something, of ordering something, of a command put in place by an authority. God said, I have commanded a raven. You ever tried to control a wild bird? You ever tried to bring it to do what you tell it to do? I'm talking with Sister Jennifer about some parakeets that she has. Do you have great success with giving orders to even a parakeet? No. And yet God said, as the creator of heaven and earth, He said, I've commanded a raven and he will feed you. A raven is a bird of prey. It's a scavenger bird. And what it finds, it eats itself. And yet God commanded that raven, or the ravens, to bring him both flesh and bread for however many days it was until the brook dried up. You see, God has control, sovereign control, over His creation. He commanded a widow. A widow who obviously, as it unfolds in this 17th chapter, He commanded a widow who was, to use our good old southern expression, she was flat broke. She was down to her last meal, and it was a very meager one at that. She was out picking up two sticks. Wasn't going to take much of a fire. Why? Because she didn't have very much. She was going to mix a little meal and a little oil, and she was going to cook a cake of bread, and she was going to split it with her son, and their expectation was to starve to death. That's who God commanded to feed Elijah. Elijah walks up, finds the widow out there. God said, there she is. Elijah said, can you get me something to drink? Well, she was going to get him something to drink. And on the way, he says, bring me something to eat. Oh, as the Lord your God liveth. Isn't it interesting how she knew he was a prophet of the Lord? The Lord your God liveth. I have nothing. I'm fixing to cook this last little meager loaf of cake of bread, and we're going to die. Okay, go ahead and do as you plan, but give me just a little of it first. And she did. That was a walk of faith, because Elijah said, if you'll do that, your oil and your meal's not going to run out. It'll keep being there. Never did have a whole lot abundance, but that stayed there. So there was faith in what Elijah had said. But that happened in light of God's sovereign command. And He commanded this widow, not to her detriment, but for her good. For a blessing to her that was going to last far beyond anything she could comprehend at that moment, God gave a command that moved her to do what Elijah told her to do.
But where was it?
It was in the city of Zarephath. It was in the land of the Zidonians. Who was from the Zidonians? Jezebel in all of her horrendous evil. God commanded in the place of the wickedness that had brought about the problem of judgment to start with. You see, God controls His creation. God controls those things that seem to be uncontrollable, the ravens. And God controls even the lands who walk in rebellion against Him. God commanded. You see, Elijah's hope stood not in the perpetuity of the brook, not in the capability of the widow, but in the sovereign command that the God of heaven had given, and God's word does not fail.
Amen.
Look with me at a couple of scriptures. Look with me tonight in Isaiah chapter 14. I'm going to read these kind of quickly together. Isaiah chapter 14. Notice with me verse 24. The Lord of heaven, or Lord of hosts, hath sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, what was it Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 29? I know the thoughts that I have toward you, as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. And as I have purposed, so shall it stand. I have thought, I have considered, and what I have thought, it shall come to pass. God's authority and God's wisdom and God's unchanging power will bring to pass His preserving grace. Then if you turn over into Isaiah chapter 46, I want you to notice again a particular word in this passage. Look at Isaiah chapter 46. Let's read beginning in verse 9. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, I will do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, that the man that executeth my counsel from a far country, yea, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, I will also do it. God said, I'm doing it from before the time. It hadn't happened yet, but I've already told you what's going to happen. Why? Because what He purposes, He will bring to pass. What He speaks, it shall happen. I thought of a passage of Scripture in Romans chapter 9, and I won't turn there for the sake of time to read the whole passage. But it's in that passage where where Paul recounts to the Jews that God had said to Abraham and Sarah that the elder would serve the younger, for Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. But he also says in that same passage, he says, neither of them, Jacob or Esau, having done either good or evil, when he made that statement, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand. I have purposed it. It shall stand. It shall come to pass. I shall bring it to pass. You see, the purpose of our salvation in Jesus Christ was God's purpose from before the foundation of the world. He chose His people. He chose the Lamb. He decreed what was going to occur before there was ever the problem of sin. He knew what was going to happen. And he had the answer. He sent Abraham, He sent Elijah before Ahab with a command that inevitably was going to have some harsh consequences. God knew the consequences ahead of time. God commanded a raven. God commanded a widow. The raven was wild, the widow was broke. And God used both of those to preserve His prophet. You see, folks, our hope in difficult times, our hope lies not in our ability to solve a problem or to make a certain situation last. When things change, it's not that suddenly God's failed. Don't look for something, just hang on and say, I got to keep it going. No, if God dries up the brook, then be ready to move in your life to what God has before you. Because God's already got the answer. He's already commanded. Past tense, I have commanded a widow. She knew in her heart something that was going to occur. I'll tell you, folks, we live in the sight of the same God who commands His creation. He doesn't struggle with His creation. He doesn't wrestle with His creation. He commands His creation. He didn't command it to rain against what Elijah had said. He didn't command this to happen or that command. But He did command the things necessary to preserve Elijah. And I'll tell you, folks, He commands what we need to preserve our strength in His service. We can stand on that the Lord has commanded. Maybe there are times that we need to hide. Maybe there's times that we need to just drink water and bread. Maybe there's times we need to go munch on a very meager meal with a widow lady. But God's command is enough to carry us where He needs us to be. Elijah went right back to Ahab 3 years later, and the rainstorm that happened. Why? Because God commanded. May God help us to trust in the sovereign command of our Lord. Father, help us to rest upon You. Help us to know that Your leadership is not a wish, it's not a possibility, it is a command of Your sovereign Spirit. You lead us and we can rest upon Your sovereignty. Keep us in this world that we may confront evil. Keep us in this world that we may declare Your goodness. That we may be used like Elijah was later used in the face of all the prophets of Baal. That we would declare the glory of the God who commands heaven and earth. Lord, we are Your servants. Preserve us in dry times. Dry from rain, dry in a spiritual wilderness. Preserve us that we might stand in Your name. Help us by Your command, we pray. And amen.